generously over the last 3 weeks. And we have been talking under our three messages that we've looked at is giving, thanksgiving, and forgiving. Now maybe as a pastor, this is a dangerous series. Because, telling people that they need to be generous, giving people, telling people that they need to be thankful in every situation and season of their lives, and telling people that they need to forgive. I'm not sure anybody is ready to hear any of those messages. But the reality is we serve a generous God who gives generously from his heart to us in so many ways. And we are called to be a generous people. Being followers of Christ, walking in his footsteps, we are called to live generously like our Lord does and did. So, first of all this morning, forgiveness is an act of generosity. Forgiveness is an act of generosity. Forgiveness is the gracious, generous choice to rather take injury ourselves than to hold the other person in judgment. It is choosing to release our right to judge another person and release that right to God, knowing that he's going to be a better judge than I am. And he's going to sort it out better than I can. And releasing those things to God so that he can judge fairly. If you've been following it at all, the Charlie Kirk phenomenon south of the border has been interesting to watch unfold. We have had a Christ-like example from Erica Kirk, Charlie's widow, in the most difficult and traumatic circumstances that we can imagine, really. Her husband and the father of her children was taken suddenly, brutally, and maliciously from her life. And she stood before the world and declared that she forgave the murderer because of what Christ had done. Right? And then we saw that contrasted on the same stage at the same event. Donald Trump, who I believe is probably genuinely sympathetic to the Christian faith, but I'm not, I don't know if he's truly had a personal transformation in his heart by Christ at this point. But we heard him say that he couldn't be on the same page as Erica, and that he hates his enemies and he hates his opponents. Right? The contrast of those two hearts. And some of you have been put in the position to have to choose whether or not to forgive some terrible acts by other people in your life. And I'm not going to suggest that it's easy. We'll talk in a bit about how is it even possible. But it's definitely not easy. It was not easy for Erica Kirk to stand on that platform and say those words. You could see the pain wash over her face as she said the words, "I forgive him." But it was an incredible act of courage and generosity to give out something that cost her dearly. It cost her to speak those words. It cost her to say, "I forgive him." And yet she dug deep and she chose to forgive. And so as followers of Christ, we forgive because we've been forgiven. What generosity God has poured out in our lives that we are forgiven people. Amen? Colossians 2:13 says, He has graciously canceled the legal debt of sin that was against us. And He took it away and nailed it to the cross and won victory over the powers that had enslaved us by the cross. Amen? A couple of scriptures that say it very plainly. Ephesians 4:32 says, Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. In the same way that God forgave us, we are to forgive others. Right? And then Colossians 3:13 and 14 says, Bear with each other. That means sometimes people grate on you, get on your nerves, drive you crazy, and you do the same to them, right? And so we work hard at putting up with each other's irritations and annoyances, to bear with each other. That's a generous act, isn't it? To give people space to not be perfect, just like we're given space to not be perfect. But to bear with each other and forgive one another, it says, if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And in both these passages, Paul is reminding the people to whom he is writing that they had owed a great debt of sin against God, and he forgave them at great cost to himself. Right? He had borne their guilt and shame. The weight of the sin of humanity was put on Jesus' body, and he took it to the cross and died there for us. And because of his sacrifice, you are forgiven. And if Jesus could be so generous as to forgive a lifetime of sin for you, then you and I, Paul is saying, can find the generosity to give, to forgive whatever slight or hurt another human has done to us. Just as in Christ God forgave you. Right? Jesus illustrated the very audacity of withholding forgiveness from another human after we've been forgiven by God in the parable in Matthew 18 of the servant who was forgiven $1 billion of debt. Jesus used exaggeration to make his point. They were forgiven $1 billion of debt and then walked out of the room and went and sued someone who owed them $1,000. Right? It's so ridiculous we can't even imagine someone being so clueless as to do that after they've been forgiven so much. But Jesus said that's what it's like when we choose not to forgive when we've been forgiven. The reality is, the one who is hurt the most by us not forgiving someone is us. Right? The other person probably went on with their lives. They may not even remember what it is you're holding against them. We may think that we're holding them accountable by hanging on to it and refusing to let go of it. But instead, we've chained ourselves to an event that happened in our lives, and we will not be free of it until we forgive. I've heard it said, you probably have too, that it's that not forgiving someone is like drinking poison hoping the other person dies. That's not going to turn out too well for us, is it? Right? So we forgive because we've been forgiven. The Bible also tells us that we need to forgive so you can be forgiven. If we need another reason to consider forgiving those who have harmed us, how about the truth in the Scriptures that to choose not to forgive will result in us not receiving forgiveness from God? That's pretty heavy, isn't it? And the reality is, God tells us that we will actually block His forgiveness in our lives if we choose to remain unforgiving to others. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount when He was teaching on prayer, and He gave them the what we call the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father, right? And in the middle of that, of course, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Right? Forgive us where we've crossed the line, Lord, as we forgive those who've crossed our line. And then Jesus circles back to it after He teaches them the prayer. He circles back to that one part of the prayer. And He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. That puts us in an awkward position where we need to work through the stuff in our hearts and come to a place where we're able to forgive. We humans have a tendency, I think we love to climb up into the judge's seat, don't we? But we don't belong there. It's not our place or prerogative to sit in judgment of others. And when we do that, we set ourselves up as a higher authority than God. Basically, God, I don't trust you to judge them. I'm going to do it. Right? And when we do that, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in another place, He says that we will be judged with the same measure that we judge others with. Do we really want that? Right? We find it easy to judge ourselves by our best day and to judge others by their worst, don't we? Do we not want the same understanding and grace and compassion for our blunders that God has given us? Like, don't we want that from people? A bit of grace when I blow it, right? When I do something I shouldn't have done or say something I shouldn't have said, don't I want some grace from other people? Jesus says we need to show that same kind of grace to others. You need to climb down off the judge's seat and let God be judge. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, he said, don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. God says, I've got this. I'm the judge of the universe. I can take care of it. I can sort it all out in the end. You let it go. Right? Also this morning, to forgive means we outsmart the devil's schemes. You know, the devil is a schemer, right? He has plans within plans, and he's always looking to set traps for us. He knows your patterns. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what pushes your buttons like nobody else. And you can be guaranteed that even this week, he set some traps for you. The question is, did you avoid them or did you fall into them? Right? One of the most common schemes the enemy uses is called offense. If he can get you to take offense at something someone said or did or didn't do, didn't say, it's one of the best ways to get you to spiral into anger and fear and to chain you to something instead of walking in freedom. Right? That's what happens when we take offense. Ephesians 4:26 says this, in your anger, do not sin. Right? We all experience the emotion of anger. It's a normal thing. Right? Am I the only one? You guys are asleep? You good? I'm definitely the only one? Okay. Right? We all experience that emotion of anger. It's normal. But Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Well, how do I sin in my anger? I think there's a number of ways. We don't have time to do it. That's a whole message probably. But then he says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So to hang on to our anger for more than a few hours will get us in trouble, right? How many of you would sign up and say, I would love for the enemy to have some territory in my life? Wouldn't that be awesome? I'd just love for him to get in there and have a foothold and be able to do some damage in my life, right? None of us would say, I want to sign up for that. But Paul says that if we hold on to our anger for more than a few hours, that we actually give the enemy space that he can squat on, that he can stand on, that he can claim as his own. We give him legal right to step into our lives when we hold on to unforgiveness and hold on to anger. Don't fall for it because it will poison your soul, right? Paul writes in another spot. This was in 2 Corinthians. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he wrote to them about a guy who was committing grievous sin. He was sexually involved with his stepmom. It was just messy and terrible. And Paul writes and says, you need to deal with this guy. He needs to be corrected. He needs to be not allowed to continue in this behavior. He needs to be disciplined. And then Paul writes in his second letter, because the man had repented, the man had stepped away from that sin and dealt with it. So Paul says, you need to forgive him. And here's what he writes. He says, anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I've forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. So when we when we hold people in unforgiveness, Paul says the enemy has, that plays right into his schemes. We need to be aware of the enemy's schemes and not fall into them. That's what he's saying. So when we forgive offenses, when we deal with our insecure hearts, when we deal with our offended hearts, and we forgive people, and we keep short accounts with people so we don't have a list of who's offended us and who's done what against us, right? But we clean off that list and we keep short accounts. We forgive people and we become unoffendable. We actually mess up the enemy's plans. Don't you want to mess the enemy's plans today, right? Mess up his schemes. And lastly today, how do we do this? Forgiveness is possible in Christ. Some of you might be sitting there with stuff going through your head and your heart today. Really heavy things people have done to you, and you're thinking, how in heaven's name could I possibly forgive someone who's hurt me so deeply? First of all, let me say this morning that forgiveness is not primarily a feeling, it is primarily a choice of the will. It is not primarily a feeling, it is primarily a choice of the will. And yes, when we forgive, we may very well feel relief or a sense of release from a bondage that has kept us captive. We may feel a fresh sense of love for someone that we didn't know we could possibly love or care for again. But it doesn't mean that if you don't have certain feelings, you haven't forgiven. And if the feelings of anger and resentment pop up again after you've chosen to forgive someone, it doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them. It just means you're having a feeling. Right? And it means you need to bring that feeling and lead it back into alignment with the choice that you've made to forgive. We need to distrust our feelings because they will lead us astray. But when we've made a choice to forgive, we need to bring our thoughts and our feelings into captivity, bring them into obedience to Christ, bring them into alignment with what we've chosen to forgive. Colossians 3. I think this is up here. So we read part of this passage a few minutes ago. But I want to take a moment to look at the context, because I think it's going to help us understand, how can I forgive? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Do you know how loved you are this morning, folks? Do you know that you're not holy because you keep a bunch of rules, but you're holy because God's chosen you, set you apart for Himself, that He loves you with an everlasting love? as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself with some things. What does that mean? How many of you were born with clothes on? Right? Not born with clothes on. So that means that your clothes are not natural to your body, to who you are. It's something you put on. A few verses earlier, just before this, Paul writes to the Colossians and he says, "Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of your Creator." Folks, there is a new nature, a new reality that God has given you in Christ. You're being made into a new person. Anybody excited about that? Hallelujah. That old person was a stinker. That old person got me in trouble so many times. But when I come to Christ, I begin to take off those old ways, that old nature, and I put on something new, right? Like clothing. So I clothe myself with compassion. How many of us are naturally compassionate? Some of you are. Some of us aren't, right? It's not always natural to be compassionate towards other people. It's more natural to be selfish. How natural is it to be kind? It's more natural to push somebody out of the way so I can get what I want, right? How natural is humility? Man, I want people to think well of me, and I want to hear people say nice things about me. And so do you. To lay down our lives for someone is not natural. Right? So gentleness and patience, we put on these things. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has any grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Paul writes in another spot in Romans, he says, "Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." How do we forgive? I don't know if I can. I don't know if in my strength and wisdom and ability, I can just forgive someone. How do I forgive? I put on Christ. I recognize what Jesus did for me. I recognize that Jesus, who lay on that cross as they were pounding nails into his wrists and into his feet, said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." How can someone dig so deep to forgive someone when they're right in the midst of harming them in an incredibly painful way? But that same Christ who forgave them is in me and empowers me, enables me to forgive others. How do I forgive? I clothe myself in compassion. I clothe myself in humility. Clothe myself in kindness. And Jesus will enable me, empower me. And so we forgive Not only because it's the generous thing to do, not only because it's the merciful thing to do, but because it's how God treated us. It's how God wants us to behave. And it is the most freeing and healthy thing that we can do for our own soul, to forgive. We forgive by making a choice of the will. We forgive by leading our feelings once we've made the choice. And we continually point our hearts towards love and kindness. We put off our anger, hatred, and vengeance, and we put on love and compassion and mercy and peace and joy. We put off our flesh and we put on Christ. Forgiveness may not be an event, folks. It might be a process. Have you found that sometimes? But we need to move towards forgiveness. And we can do that. Here's one way that I was challenged a while ago to work through forgiveness is to pray for the person that you have something against, that person whose their face or their name brings up some, you know, those feelings of resentment or those feelings of anger. Just put them on your prayer list. Not to pray judgment on them. Right? But to pray for them that God would bless their lives as much as you want to be blessed. That you would truly pray for them that God would move in their lives and to bring about freedom and life and hope and joy and peace for them. And when you start doing it, it's going to hurt to pray. Right? It's gonna be difficult. But as you continue to pray for that person, Jesus is going to begin to give you a freedom and a love and a kindness towards them. And when you can genuinely pray, for their blessing, you have truly begun to move into forgiveness. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And I'm going to get you to stand. We're going to sit back down afterwards and celebrate communion together. But I want you to change posture for a moment. Stand with us. Here's our question today. It may not seem quite directly involved with forgiveness, but I think it's very much so. Are you ready to treat others the way you want to be treated? To be given grace? To be released from judgment for the things that they've done? Believe the best instead of assuming the worst. Are you ready to truly treat others the way you want to be treated? Folks, forgiveness is costly. It cost Jesus dearly for you and I to receive forgiveness. You and I to give forgiveness, it costs us the right to hold on to something, the right to hold someone accountable. Trust me, God will deal with it. God will sort it out. But are you ready to treat others the way that you want to be treated? I believe today there are probably a number of us in the room that have struggled with forgiveness. Your Heavenly Father is here today. His presence is with us. Not to shame you where you've struggled with forgiveness, not to pile more guilt upon your life, not to give you another rule that you have to follow. But He is here today inviting you into freedom. I believe He would want you to hear, "Come to me, dear one. Come to me. I know what you have experienced. I know what you carry. I know how it hurts. I know how you replay it in your mind. And it stings every time. I know, dear one. But come to me. Release it to me. Because I want to give you freedom from that. I want to give you life where the enemy has poisoned your soul with bitterness. I want to give you life. So, Father, I thank you for your incredible generosity of forgiveness, your incredible generosity of mercy in our lives. I want to thank you for all the ways that you have, God, not only forgiven us when we came to you the first time, but God, you are faithful and just when we confess our sin to you daily, faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The ongoing work of transformation in our lives by your forgiving, healing power. I thank you for that, God. God, the things that have happened to us are hard to let go. But I thank you that you've given the presence of Jesus on the inside of us. And you've given us a set of clothing to put on of compassion and kindness and mercy and grace and gentleness and humility and above all, love. God, I pray that you would empower those in this room right now that are struggling to let go of whatever that is. That you'd give them strength and power today, courage to say, "I forgive him, her, them." God, in this moment, that you would come and foul up the enemy's schemes in our lives. That we would be free. That we would be healed. And that we would have a peace in our soul that we have not tasted maybe for years. Come, Holy Spirit. Work that work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 If you would be seated once again, just in that spirit of worship, we want to invite the servers to come, prepare our hearts to receive communion. What we do as we celebrate communion, as we celebrate the price that was paid for our forgiveness and freedom. Jesus' body was broken for us, and his blood was shed for us. If you are here this morning visiting, maybe first time you've been in a communion service with us, just want you to know a couple things. First of all, if you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are welcome to celebrate communion. There's no restrictions that way. It doesn't matter what your church background is. You're welcome to receive communion. Second thing I want you to know is that if you're here today and you're still exploring faith in Christ, you've not made that choice to follow Jesus, you're still in process, we are so glad you're here, so glad that you're asking questions and leaning into that process in your life. But if you don't feel ready to take communion, it's okay to pass the tray past you and not feel any condemnation or judgment from us today. We just want you to walk in the pace that God is working in your life. And lastly, you'll take, there are two cups, one inside the other. Just take them both and hold on to them. The bottom cup has a little wafer in it. The top cup has juice in it. Just hold on to them, and we're going to take communion together after everyone's received their cups. Let's worship the Lord together.
Thank you, Jesus. Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm to the fiercest drought and storm. Wide heights of love, wide depths of peace, when fears are still. Bursting forth in glorious day.
Colossians 1:19 says, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." Free from accusation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we're so thankful. That you were willing to go to the cross for us. So thankful for the gift of forgiveness and freedom and hope and life that we have because of what you have done. Let's take the emblem of his broken body, the wafer. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, we thank you that my sin and guilt and shame were put on you, that you bore it to the cross on your body, that you were pierced for my sin. And that you won my forgiveness and freedom there. Let's take the emblem of his broken body. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus, we honor the fact. Scripture tells us that you reconciled all things to the Father by your blood shed on the cross. That you purchased for yourself a people, and we get to be a part of that people. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for freedom and hope and life because of the blood of Jesus. Let's take the emblem of his shed blood.
Thank you, Jesus. There in the ground,
let's stand and sing it.
His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curses lost. In life, no fear in death. This is the palm of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of mine can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns.
The Lord for the great service he's given to us today. Thank you for coming and joining us in worship. Thank you, Pastor, for that message. Praise the Lord. If you need prayer today, we certainly would invite you to come. There'd be those here today who would love to pray with you. And just to remind you, today is Soup Sunday, and we would love to see everyone come. There's plenty of food for everyone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you have worked in our lives today. And we just now ask, Lord, that you bless our fellowship as we gather for Soup Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for the food that's been prepared. We pray that you would bless it to our bodies. And we thank you for all that you have done. We give you the glory and the praise. And everyone said, amen. God bless you.
So good, God, you're so good. am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. And should this life bring suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God, you're so good. Yes, you are, Lord. I am called, I am